Hey, y'all, it's Bo Haig. Thank you so much for listening to this message today. If you have questions, please contact us at 580-216-6427. And we hope that God uses this message to change your life.
I want to touch base on some of our plans for our future in our covered arena. And some of you guys got this handout. If you'll pull this handout real quick. If you didn't know it, or if you're new to our church, we actually are in the process of building a brand new covered arena. God has blessed us with 30 acres, and we've paid cash for that. We've done the dirt work. The dirt work's done. We paid cash for that, and God is on the move in allowing us to build a covered arena. I want you to pull this handout out. Again, the phase one planning is underway. Phase one of the construction planning is underway, and I want to show you some pictures. They're on this, but I want to show you the same pictures on the screen, so show that there. This is our future saddle house. And you say, what's a saddle house? Well, this is going to be our fellowship barn. In this barn, we're going to be able to have Bible studies. We're going to be able to have dances. We're going to be able to have, you know, all kinds of get-togethers. I mean, this is going to be a great spot to have weddings and all kinds of stuff. And it gives us a spot where we can fellowship as a church. These are some of the pictures you can see there. It's going to kind of have an old bar there. We've got some old booze that we got out of a bar. The kind of the horseshoe-shaped booths. Will you show that picture real quick? The horseshoe-shaped booths. There we go. See those horseshoe-shaped booths? We actually have booths just like that. So we're kind of excited. They're pretty cool. But here's the thing. What this permits us to do, again, is allows us to have fellowship, which, again, is hard for us to do. When you walk out of church on most Sundays, you typically cannot even talk to anybody because the hallways are, you know, packed and you can't really fellowship. So this barn allows us to do that. This barn will have all the bathrooms in it and a full kitchen in it that'll service the covered arena as well as the worship barn later on. So this barn is going to be kind of in the middle between the covered arena and the worship barn later on. Now, again, we're trying to finalize some construction plans. These are some pictures of what the team has come up with. And I want to thank you for giving to this covered arena fund. As you can see there's some numbers there. I want to touch base on a few other numbers. The phase three goal, which is the saddle house, was the goal of $300,000. Now, here's the thing. We started that goal, or we committed to that goal. Some of you guys committed to give 3 years, as much as you can give, over and beyond your tithe. Now, here's the thing. Since October, we have taken in, since October, $223,000. Now, here's the thing. That was a three-year commitment, and we're already blowing that out of the water. I mean, we brought in, you know, again, our goal was $300,000 in 3 years. We brought in over $223,000 already since October. Let me just say this as well. In September of 13, we started out with $173,000 in the bank. And then we've added to it the $223,000. We've spent $204,000, which gives us a current balance right now in the bank of $190,000. Yeah. So here's the deal. You say, well, why are you sharing all that? Again, I want to say thank you to our church because you guys are a giving church. And because of what you are giving and because of your blessings of your money and your time, we are going to be able to build a covered arena where we can reach unchurched people. Amen? And so I hope that you're excited about that. I hope you'll take that and show your buddies and get them to come join us as well. Well, here's the thing. I want to start my message by saying this. We have been in a series called Happy Hour. Many of you guys have been here for most of the weeks during this series, but we've been in a series called Happy Hour, and the subtitle is Pour Me Some Spirit and Leave the Bottle. Now, some of you guys are new. You've not been around since I've started this series, and you're thinking, what is this all about? I mean, pour me some spirit and leave the bottle. Well, our key verse is this. Ephesians 5, chapter 18 says this. It says, do not be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, why are you doing this series? Again, we believe that topics that are talked about in the Bible should be talked about in church. Amen? And alcohol, we touched on alcohol, we've touched on the Holy Spirit, and that's what we're going to continue to talk about today. We've looked at questions like, who is the Holy Spirit? Or where did the Holy Spirit come from? And in the past few weeks, we've been looking at the roles of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life. And I've already given five, and I'll run through those real quick. Number one was this: the Holy Spirit's role in our life is to convict us of our sin and to reveal our need for Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, that's what the Holy Spirit does. Number two, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and lives inside of us when we commit our life to Jesus Christ. Number three was this: when we commit our life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes in and gives us a new life. He gives us a new life. He transforms us from the inside out. Number four was this: the Holy Spirit is our helper. And number five, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Now today, I'm going to give you one more role that the Holy Spirit plays in our life. And to do that, I'm going to sing you a song. Is that okay? And I'm going to ask my beautiful little daughter to come up. Where's she at? My beautiful daughter. Come on, Madeline. Well, here's the thing. My daughter and I and my sons, actually, we watched a movie yesterday, and because it was raining, we were watching a movie, and the movie's called Rio Bravo. Anybody watch Rio Bravo? Here's the song, and in this song, or in this movie, there are two characters. John Wayne is one of the characters, and he plays a man named Chance, and then Dean Martin plays a guy named Dude. Anybody seen this movie? Raise your hand if you've seen this movie. Yeah, it's a great movie. Well, in this movie, Dean Martin and a guy named Ricky Nelson, who was a famous singer, if you guys, back in the day, Ricky Nelson. Yeah, he was hot back then, right? Well, anyways, they sing this song, and so I'm going to sing Dean Martin's part. I'm going to try. I'm going to put my Dean Martin face on. And this is going to be Colorado. If you know the movie, Colorado is the character of Frank Nelson, and or not Frank, what is it? Ricky. Ricky Nelson. And so Madeline is going to help me sing this song, all right? The sun is sinking in the west. If you know it, sing it with me. The cattle go down to the stream. The red wing settles in her nest. It's time for a cowboy to dream. Purple lights in the canyons, that's where I long to be, with my three good companions, just my rifle, my pony, and me. Gonna hang my sombrero on a limb of a tree. Now, again, you may know that song, and didn't my daughter do a beautiful job? Well, you say, why are you singing that little song from Rio Bravo? Well, here's what I want to touch on today. The next role of the Holy Spirit is this, and this is where I want to take this message today. The other role that the Holy Spirit plays in all of our lives is the Holy Spirit is our friend. The Holy Spirit is our friend. And you say, well, how does that work? I mean, how is the Holy Spirit my friend? Well, I want to illustrate that by saying that in the movie Rio Bravo, The two guys that I look at and I think of friendship were John Wayne and Dean Martin, right? I mean, you had John Wayne who played Chance, and then you had Dean Martin who played Dude. Now, John Wayne plays the sheriff in the movie, and the whole plot of the movie, if you haven't seen the movie, the whole plot of the movie is Joe Burdett, the bad guy, shoots a guy and kills him. Well, John Wayne, being the sheriff, takes Joe Burdett and puts him in jail, and he has to hold him in jail until the marshal can come or the judge can come, and they can try him or hang him for the murder. Well, the whole idea of the whole movie is trying to keep Joe Burdett's brother and all the other bad guys from breaking Joe Burdett out of jail, right? So here you have Chance, played by John Wayne, and you got Dean Martin, who actually plays an alcoholic, right? An alcoholic deputy. And the reason that Dean Martin plays an alcoholic is because he had a woman that was in his life. She left him and he began to drink all the time. Now, here's the friendship that I want you to get. John Wayne, throughout the movie, has to keep Dean Martin from going back to drinking alcohol. I mean, through the whole movie, Dean is struggling. I mean, he's sweating, he's shaking, all these things are going on. And it wasn't until he tried to get sober and he tried to get, he tried to get clean that something happened. Do you remember what happens in the movie? He dresses up, he gets cleaned up, he shaves, and then he tries to walk back into the jail, and what happens? Anybody remember? Walter Brennan. You guys remember Walter Brennan? What part did he play? Stumpy. Remember Stumpy? In the jail, Walter Brennan is the jail keeper. He locks himself in with Joe Burdett, and he's guarding Joe Burdett with his double-barrel shotgun. Well, when Dean Martin actually dresses back up and he cleans back up, Stumpy didn't realize who he was, so he tries to blow his head off when he walks into the front door. Remember that? He tries to blow his head off, and then Dean Martin begins to, on a downward spiral of wanting to go back and drink even more. But here's the thing. John Wayne plays the character of Chance. And John Wayne comes alongside of Dean Martin, and he not only is his friend, but he challenges him, and he says, go ahead. If you want to drink, go ahead. Drink it up. And in a roundabout way, he tries to help Dean Martin in his character of struggling with alcoholism. He tries to help him and says, you just need to go ahead and drink. But here's the thing. He was his friend. He was trying to convince Dean that, hey, you know what? Trials are going to happen in your life. Things are going to, shotguns are going to be shot. Things are going to happen in your life. And when you face those trials, you need a friend. And that friend was John Wayne. And so, again, Chance and Dude were friends. They trusted each other. They walked with each other. They fought for each other. And they were great friends. Well, here's the deal. Spiritually speaking, here's what I want to go. We can handle some things on our own, right? I mean, I can handle certain things on my own. I can handle cooking. I can handle cleaning. I can handle, gassing my pickup up. I can handle all those things. But when the crap hits the fan, guess what? I need a friend. Amen? And guess who that friend ought to be in all of our lives? It ought to be the Holy Spirit. And you say, okay, Bo, explain that to me. Here's the deal. The Holy Spirit wants the same friendship that Chance and Dude had in Rio Bravo. We become friends with God when we give our lives to Jesus Christ. And when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, guess what? The Holy Spirit becomes our friend. It becomes our friend. Now, here's something that I struggle with personally, and I believe a lot of Christians struggle with as well. While I possess the Holy Spirit, he isn't always my friend. Here's what I mean by that. A lot of Christians aren't friends with the Holy Spirit, nor do they receive the benefits of the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, why? Why don't people, reap the benefits of the Holy Spirit? Here's why I think it is. Because there's a lot of weird Christians out there. And you're like, did he just say that? And I did. I just said that. Here's the thing. Here's what I believe happens a lot of times. I believe that there's a lot of people that claim to be a Christian, and they may even be saved, but here's the thing. They misuse or abuse the gifts of the Spirit, and they aid in the devil's creating this stigma that you're weird if you have a thriving personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Anybody seen that? Anybody seen that? Now, here's the thing. I read one pastor who described this stereotype of being close to the Holy Spirit this way. Women, you're in two camps if you're close to the Holy Spirit. And you better take this with a laugh. You're either in the camp where you don't wear any makeup, or you're in the camp where you wear too much makeup. Can I get a witness on that? Anybody seen that? Yeah. I mean, some women are like, I cannot get close to the Holy Spirit, because a lot of those Holy Spirit filled type people, they either don't wear any makeup or they wear way too much makeup. And all the men are like, if I marry someone who loves the Holy Spirit, then I'm going to have to marry one of those people that are extreme. Now, again, you say, well, is that a stereotype? Yes, it is. I mean, it's a stereotype. But here's the deal. I believe that we fear a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And you say, you know, again, and I believe this fear comes straight from the devil. It comes straight from the devil. Here's why. Because the devil knows that if we will be friends with the Holy Spirit, he knows that we will possess power and we will be able to overcome the devil. And so the devil puts weird people, crazy people in the church that again, keep the Holy Spirit at bay in our lives. And the truth about crazy people and weird people, and again, you may be thinking I'm insulting them. I'm not. You just need to be honest too. There are some crazy, weird people out there. But here's the truth about crazy, weird Christians. They were weird and crazy before they became a Christian. And they would be weird and crazy if they weren't Christians, right? And you're saying, well, it takes one to know one, and I believe you're right. But here's the thing. Again, I believe that the devil has taken this again, extreme in one way or the other, and he's made us fear a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And for me, here's the truth. I need to repent. And I need to say, Lord, forgive me for fearing a personal, growing, thriving relationship with the Holy Spirit. And we need to begin to ask the Holy Spirit to begin a new work in and through our lives. In and through our lives. Now, here's the cool thing about our church. Here's what I love about our church. Many of you guys have never experienced the crazy, weird people. Because some of you guys are new to church. And I thank God that you're here, because you don't have this experience with the crazy weird people, right? And so I think it's awesome that you have this unblemished opportunity to have a personal, thriving relationship with the Holy Spirit from the ground up. I think that's awesome. Now, here's the thing. You say, okay, Bo, if I'm going to be friends with the Holy Spirit, what are the benefits? What are the benefits of having a friendship with the Holy Spirit? Here's number one, and I've only got one point today. Can I get an amen? I've only got one point today, and it's this. You say, what are the benefits of being friends with the Holy Spirit? Number one is this. We can bear good fruit. We can bear good fruit. Now listen to John chapter 15, verses 14 and 16. It says this. It says, you are my friends if you do what I command. Jesus is talking here. He says, I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father has told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting what? Fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. Do you see what this is saying? Jesus is saying, if you know me and if you do what I say, we're friends. And here's the other thing. So if you have a friendship with Jesus, then you have a friendship with the Holy Spirit. And if you have a friendship with the Holy Spirit, then you can bear what? Good fruit, right? And so you say, well, okay, what fruit are you talking about? I mean, are we going to plant a garden and be Christians and raise a garden? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about fruit from within. And let me explain it this way. Those who are not friends with the Holy Spirit, in other words, those that don't know Jesus, guess what? They bear bad fruit. You know why? Because they're controlled not by the Holy Spirit, but by their sinful nature. But those who are friends with the Holy Spirit, guess what? They are led by the Spirit. Now here's the truth. Our sinful nature, which is what we are born with, it bears bad fruit. But the Holy Spirit, we bear good fruit. And you say, what kind of fruit? Well, look at Galatians chapter 5. It says this. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Listen to these. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension and division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But listen to this. This is the good part. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And listen to this. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in every part of our lives. Now, here's the thing. Again, if you are not, and if you don't have a friendship with the Holy Spirit, guess what? Then you are led by your sinful nature. And sin has a hold on your life. Now, here's what happens. Here's what that looks like. When you're faced with temptations, guess what? Guess what tends to happen more often? You give in. I mean, some of you guys grew up and you maybe partied, you know, a lot in your past life, or maybe you're still partying. Listen, when you don't possess the Holy Spirit in your life, guess what? When your buddies come calling and they say, hey, let's go get drunk. Let's do all this stuff. Let's go, you know, cheat on our wives. Let's do all this stuff. Listen, you tend to want to dive right in. Why? Because you don't have the Holy Spirit's power to say no to that temptation. Anybody been there? I've been there. I mean, I've faced temptation like that all the time. Listen, but here's the other truth. If you have a personal friendship with the Holy Spirit, then you have the power to say no to the temptation. You know why? Because he's your friend, and he's there to give you the strength that you need to say no to the sin. And you say, well, is it just about drinking and, you know, having, you know, sex outside of marriage and all that stuff? No. Listen, some of you, like me, are tempted in other ways. He lists them in verses 20 and 21. He says idolatry. You know what that means? Putting others ahead of God. Putting something ahead of God. Sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy. Anybody struggle with jealousy? Some people. Outburst of anger. Anybody struggle from outburst of anger? Yeah. Anybody struggle with selfish ambition? You want to, it's all about you. Anybody struggle with, dissension or division or envy? Anybody envy anybody? Yeah, sometimes we all deal with those things. And again, all these are fruits of the sinful nature. But you say, well, okay, does that go away when we give our lives to Jesus? The answer, if we're going to keep it real, is no. I mean, it doesn't go away. You're still going to face the temptations that you faced before you came to know Christ. You're still going to face the, you know, the sin that you dealt with. But listen, you do not have to do it alone. You can do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit's power, you can find victory over your sinful nature and produce good fruit. And you say, okay, Bo, what are the good fruits? Well, they listed them in verses 22 to 25. It says this in verse 22, it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And he lists nine fruit. Number one, love. How many of you guys grew up in a family where love wasn't always shared? Anybody? Love wasn't always shared? Yeah, some of you guys have never really truly understood what true love looks like. Some of you have never really truly experienced love in your lives because something is holding you back. Listen, when you become friends with the Holy Spirit, you begin to be able to open up your heart to people and to God, and God can come and fill you with a love that you've never felt before. You know what that is? That's a fruit of the Spirit. And guess what else? When you say, I can't love that person because they did me wrong, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you can begin to forgive and love that person again.
It's the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And you say, what's other fruits? Well, what about joy? I'm not talking about this, you know, American dream type happiness thing, you know, that flees, you know, when your house burned down and you're like, dang it, you know, I'm not happy anymore. No, I'm not talking about worldly happiness. I'm talking about true joy that comes from a friendship with the Holy Spirit. Listen to John chapter 15. It says, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Your joy will overflow. You say, what is a friendship with the Holy Spirit benefit? You can receive love and you can receive joy. What else? Peace. Anybody need peace in your life? I know I do. Sometimes I need some peace. And again, I'm not talking about just peace, you know, again, that the world offers and then it's gone. I'm talking about a peace that passes all understanding. John 14, verse 27 says this, and Jesus, again, he's leaving. He says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Listen, when you give your life to Jesus and you begin to have a friendship with the Holy Spirit will give you a peace like you've never felt before. You say, what else? I mean, there's nine fruits here. What about patience? Anybody need patience in your life? Come on, everybody raise your hand. Can I just get everybody to do it one time? Everybody, ready? Raise your hand. Patience. I don't know about you, but I need patience in my life. I mean, here we are. We're trying to build a covered arena. I wished it was all done yesterday. Can I get an amen? But the Lord is teaching me to be patient. We have to be patient. But here's the thing. When we find ourselves losing it and losing our patience, guess what? When you are friends with the Holy Spirit can calm you and he can give you the patience that you need. Listen to 1 Timothy 1:16. It says this, but for that very reason, I have shown you mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who believe in him and receive eternal life. So patience. What about the next one? Kindness. I don't know about you, but I grew up with brothers. How many of you guys grew up with brothers? How many of you guys grew up with brothers that were nice to you? You guys are the blessed few. I grew up with brothers that weren't so kind. I mean, when I fell one time, I fell one time and I tripped, and my bottom tooth went through my lip. And guess what my brothers did? They laughed. They laughed. They thought it was awesome that I had my tooth sticking out of my lip. Now, again, you say, I grew up like that too. And when it comes to kindness, we kind of, it's hard. I mean, anybody with me? It's hard to be kind sometimes. It's hard to be compassionate sometimes because you're like, suck it up. You're a wuss, you know? I mean, but here's the truth. When you have a friendship with the Holy Spirit, guess what? He'll give you that kind spirit. He'll give you that kind spirit. Ephesians 4:32 says this, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. What about goodness? Again, it's another fruit of the Holy Spirit, goodness. We can choose good rather than choosing bad. Again, with the Holy Spirit as our friend, we can do that. Romans 12:9, do not just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong and hold tight to what is what? Good. And then the next one, faithfulness. Again, instead of running when things get hard from God, the Holy Spirit can give you the faithfulness that you need to stay faithful to him. Instead of running from your spouse when she does something wrong to you, you can stay faithful to her through the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, again, some of you guys, you face things and you just want to run. No, listen, if you have a friendship with the Holy Spirit will give you the strength to stay, to remain faithful, to stick by your man or to stick by your woman or stick by your boss or stick by, you know, your family. Again, instead of running, we can be faithful. Proverbs 28:20 says this, a faithful person will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. Faithful people are richly blessed. Here's the last, or the second to the last one, gentleness. How many of you guys need more gentleness in your life? Again, I go back to my brothers. It's all their fault. I mean, really, I'm going to blame it all on them. I mean, again, when my son, you know, falls or something, I want to say, get up, instead of being gentle. Instead of, and we grew up in a wrestling family. We wrestled. And so, again, I've had to learn that my wife's not my opponent on the wrestling mat. Anybody? Anybody have brothers? And then you started wrestling. I used to try to put my wife in like a figure four, you know. She didn't like that. It really didn't, you know, do anything for her. And so, again, I through the power of the Holy Spirit, I can be gentle. I can be kind. Again, some of you guys look at me like, and I'm the same way. You look at me like, I'm a man. I ain't going to be gentle. I'll take after John Wayne. John Wayne wasn't gentle. Amen? I mean, he wasn't gentle. But listen, if you want to be a true man of God, if you want the Holy Spirit to be alive in your life, it's okay to be gentle. A real man is gentle. Amen? A real man's gentle. And here's the last one. And this is the one that we hate. The last the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. How many of you guys lose your self-control? Yeah. How many of you guys, when your horse is doing something idiotic, you just want to beat him to a pulp? Anybody? Come on. PETA's not in here. PETA's not around. So come on. Raise your hand. Yeah, self-control. How many of you guys, when you see, you know, what's one of your favorites? That coconut cream pie, there's no self-control. Anybody? Yeah. I'm the same way. Again, but here's the truth about the Holy Spirit. When you are friends with the Holy Spirit can give you control over your mouth. How many need control over your mouth? He can give you control over your actions. He can give you control over your thoughts. And guess what? You can overcome them through the power of the Holy Spirit. We all need self-control. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And so again, you may be here today and you may be thinking, Bo, what is the secret to having more peace? What is the secret to having more patience? What is the secret to having more joy and more self-control? Can I just tell you, it's not a secret. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. You want to possess these qualities, you want to possess this good fruit in your life, then you have to develop a friendship with the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, in verse 16, it tells us this. It says, so I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You know what we have to do? We have to walk by the Spirit. And you know what the Spirit will do? The Spirit will produce good fruit in our lives. Now, here's the thing that I want to leave you with. Many of you, like I said before, you may possess the Holy Spirit in your life, but you have this fear that the Holy Spirit's going to do something weird in your life if you give Him control. Can I just tell you, you need to get past that. I need to get past that. Here's the truth. If you've truly given your life to Jesus Christ, He should have changed you from the inside out. Here's what religion is. Religion is trying to clean yourself on the outside and do nothing about what's on the inside. A relationship with the Holy Spirit, a relationship with Jesus Christ, starts on the inside and you begin to change from the inside out. And you say, Bo, what's all that mean? Here's the truth. If you know Christ, you ought to be different. Instead of being led by your sinful nature, you ought to be led by the Holy Spirit. And again, I'm not talking about perfection. We're all going to sin. We're going to continue to sin, but we ought to sin less. It ought to be the exception and not the rule. And so here's my question that I want to leave you with. Are you friends with the Holy Spirit? Are you friends with the Holy Spirit? I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Again, how many of you guys, nobody's looking around, we're not going to call anybody to the front, but how many of you guys would say, you know what, Bo, I have struggled with this fear of the Holy Spirit because I don't want to be a weird person. How many guys would raise your hand and say, that's me, I've struggled with that. Yeah, I struggle with that fear all across the barn. People that, you know, again, are admitting, I don't want to be this weird person. And so I fear the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, I hope that you will join me in beginning a new relationship with the Holy Spirit and a friendship with the Holy Spirit so that he can produce good fruit in your life. And so that leads me to my next question. Which fruit are you producing? Are you producing bad fruit that is from your sinful nature? Or are you producing good fruit? Again, we're all going to sin at times, but we should be producing more good fruit than bad fruit. When temptation comes, again, do you saddle up and say, okay, I'm going to ride this sin and I'm going to enjoy it? Or do you say no to the temptation through the power of the Holy Spirit? Some of you are here today and you need to commit to say, I want to be a friend of the Holy Spirit. I want to trust more in the Holy Spirit. I want to rely more on the Holy Spirit. I want to walk closer to the Holy Spirit. Now you say, Bo, how do I begin that friendship with the Holy Spirit? Again, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. You have to give your life to Jesus Christ. You say, Bo, how do I do that? Here's how you do that. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says this, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You say, Bo, what does that mean? It means that if you will confess him, even in your seat right now, and you just want to say, you know what, Lord, I confess you as my Lord and Savior today. I give you my life. I'm tired of giving into the sinful nature, and I want your power to overcome my sorry life that I've lived before. I want you to forgive me of my past. So I confess you as my Lord. And I believe that you rose from the dead. Come into my life and save me. Listen. Again, there's nothing special about the words. There's nothing special even about the prayer. It's all about your heart. And it's about confessing him with your heart. And so, man, if you did that just now, maybe you just prayed that prayer right there in your seat. Listen, you now possess the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you can overcome the temptations that you will face in the future. But you can't do it alone. You now have the Holy Spirit to fight that battle for you. And guess what? You have this church to fight that battle with you as well. And so here's what we ask. If you made a decision today to follow Christ for the first time, or you have questions or prayer requests or whatever it is, take the orange card that was in your seat and fill it out. Check mark whatever it is that you made a decision about today and place it in one of these yellow buckets, and we will contact you about your decision. Listen, don't be afraid to do that. It's not so we can pad our numbers or say we've got a, you know, big church. It's not about any of that stuff. It's about us coming alongside of you so that you can grow in your relationship with Jesus. And so fill that out. And you say, but I don't want to fill a card out. I want you to know I want an easier way. Listen, we've got an easier way. Text your name to the number that's on the screen as you leave today. Text your name. That's all you got to do. You don't have to, you know, put anything else, just your name, and we will contact you. Here's what I want to do. I want to close this in a word of prayer, and we're going to be dismissed today. I want to thank each of you for coming today, and I hope that you have a friendship with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I come to you right now. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that we can have a thriving personal relationship with you. And that when we do, when we begin to be led by your Spirit, we can produce good fruit. And so help us to produce that good fruit. not only for our benefit, not only for your glory, but so that other people can see the good fruit in us and come to know you personally. And so, Lord, we give you all the glory. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys for being here today. Don't forget about our new members class as soon as right now in the cafe. And if you're a guest, we'd love to connect with you right over here at the guest table. Thank you.
Thank you again for listening to this message. And we hope to see you every Sunday at the Woodward Livestock Auction at 10:30.